From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, FACE Act abuse, NATO expanding, and election integrity. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. This week, FRC's Senior Vice President Jody Heiss not only hosted Washington Watch Live for the vacationing Tony Perkins, he also released his new book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity and the Will of the People. You can get your copy at tonyperkins.com. But before we get to that, let's begin with an interview Jody had on Wednesday of this week with Representative Ralph Norman of South Carolina, as they discussed the latest on the life issue, in particular, the targeting of pro-life people with the FACE Act by the Department of Justice. Here's guest host Jody Heiss.
Congressman Norman, always great to see you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Jody, so nice to be with you, and it was good seeing you the other week, and I'm glad your book is out. I plan to get it.
Well, thank you. Get it and give it to a lot of friends as well. All right, listen, let's talk about this pro-life stuff. This is just getting, it's ramping up to, I mean, it's worrisome. It's bothersome. These actions from the Biden administration's Justice Department, I mean, it does, on the one hand, demonstrate the importance of elections. But also, I mean, why Christians need to be remained in the political process. Your initial thoughts as to what happened yesterday?
You know, I saw the forward convicted, Jody, that only the federal government can bring this type of an action. The only one that can overrule the DOJ is the attorney general, and good luck with that. We know where Merrick Garland's going. No, this is a weaponization of our federal government. It's aimed at Christians. Ever since this administration took office 3.5 years ago, they've gone after Christians. They've gone after pro-life centers. And isn't it amazing that you can have cities torn up, buildings burned, looting, people hurt? You don't hear about that. You don't hear about the consequences. Yet if you sing and are just peacefully being at centers like they were, and then charge them under the FACE Act, which is ludicrous. And this happens in third world countries that are dominated by rulers, dominated by those that run Venezuela, Cuba. And no, it's startling, and it just shows you how we've got to have a change in administration, and it couldn't come too quick.
Absolutely. You know, we've seen that the Democrats are all in on this issue of abortion, and they are making it a campaign issue, unquestionably. We dealt with this a little bit yesterday, but yesterday the House Democrats held a field hearing on this topic of abortion. In fact, here's what House Democrat Leader Hakeem Jeffries said during that hearing. I'd like to play it and get your response to this.
We are here today to all make clear our unwavering, unyielding, and unequivocal support for reproductive freedom, because reproductive freedom is under assault.
All right. How should pro-lifers, be it elected officials or just citizens, how should we respond to this push that's coming from the left?
Well, one, you've got to, we understand that this is just an attempt to shield the American people or not remind them of the disaster that's going on in America, from the invasion at the border to crime in the streets to what's happening in Israel. This is just an attempt to retain power, and they're using the abortion as a launching pad to try to keep them in power. I don't think it's going to work. Retain the rights of reproductive rights of women. When you really parse that down, it's okay in the killing of a child. Even in some of the hearings I went to, at a perfectly healthy baby at birth, and they drag in these different witnesses that have horror stories of a doctor not being able to take a child that doesn't have the fluid around him. That just doesn't happen, from what we're told, with obstetricians that sense the life and death potentially of a mother. But it's just their attempt to retain power, and they use an abortion issue as one to go on.
Yeah, and we have to face the issue straight up. I mean, we have to stand for life. And what you said, they can call it reproductive health or whatever they want to call it, but at the end of the day, their position is killing babies, and we stand for life. If I can, Congressman, switch gears on you a little bit in the little time we have remaining. Congress is currently in recess, but there's going to be a lot of budget battles that are now behind us, obviously. But as you come back, there's the budget battles preparing for next year, among a host of other things. What do you anticipate taking place when Congress comes back next week?
Speaker Jordan is going to have to decide, Jody, if he's going to rely on Democrats to, under House, suspending the rules in the House to pass his agenda. You know, as you notice on the 12 appropriation bills, only, I think, 109 voted for it, 112 voted against it. He did not have a majority of Republicans. Mike's going to have to decide if he what hill he wants to die on, which I thought was sealing the border. But he's going to have to get the Republicans together, and I hope he will do that. He is a good man. He's a Christian man. I've been disappointed in what's taken place so far. I'm not for motion to vacate now, but hopefully he will take a tough stance and really get this country back on a firm financial footing, which doesn't mean spending money without offsets.
Well, and some of the leverage points have to include things like the border. As you mentioned, do you think there's a will on your side of the aisle to stand for the border real quickly?
He's going to have to be tough on it. But, you know, he might gave up his leverage when he said, we cannot shut the government down. Well, I'm sorry. I think hopefully if he had worked it, we would come to a consensus. We can't sustain the invasion for another 8 months until a new office hopefully comes in. And he said that was the hill to die on, but it didn't happen in that case. So we're back to zero.
Well, it's got to happen soon. Thank you so much, Congressman Ralph Norman. Always great to see you, my friend. God bless.
You can find out more about Congressman Norman when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And while you're there, order your copy of Jody Heiss's new book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity and the Will of the People. Again, that's at TonyPerkins.com.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday, in a shocking change of position, Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced at the NATO summit in Belgium that Ukraine will eventually join NATO. This would immediately place the U.S. and her allies in a state of war with Russia. Joining guest host Jody Heiss on Thursday was Gordon Chang, Distinguished Senior Fellow at the Gatestone Institute.
Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you.
Thanks so much, Jody.
Okay, let's begin with this. I'm intrigued by this whole issue of the Chinese role behind so many conflicts taking place around the world. And you've said that, that frankly, we need to recognize Chinese influence on countries, including countries like Russia and Iran, that China appears to be happy to sit back and let other countries conduct their wars by proxy. Explain what you mean by all of this.
China is now fighting proxy wars on three continents. It greenlighted the invasion of Ukraine, and it's supporting Russia across the board, especially with lethal aid. In North Africa, China and Russia are fueling insurgencies that look like wars, and China is backing Iran. So with elevated commodity purchases, last year, China purchased 90% of Iran's crude oil exports. But also we see diplomatic and propaganda support for the effort against Israel. Plus, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthi militia all have large quantities of Chinese weapons. So this is China going to war. Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, revered Mao Zedong. I think that Xi took two pages out of Mao's peasant movement playbook. And one of them was to create chaos around the world, because chaos, Mao Zedong felt, would lead to worldwide Chinese rule. So Xi Jinping is disrupting societies around the world, destroying them, because he believes that that will lead to his eventual control of all of humanity.
Wow. Well, none of us should be surprised that the mainstream media is, by and large, avoiding all that information. But this is information that people need to be aware of. I also wanted to get your thoughts today. Some of the remarks today made by Secretary of State Blinken, some are saying some of these remarks even sounded the alarm bells for a potential World War III. Do you agree? What are your thoughts on his comments?
Well, you can't admit somebody to NATO if it's already involved in a war. And as much as I believe in supporting the war against Russia, nonetheless, you can't do that while Ukraine is actually fighting, because that means that NATO would actually be fighting. We're not exactly clear of Blinken's timeline on this, on admission, but clearly the Biden administration failed. They failed with the catastrophic withdrawal of Afghanistan, and that led Vladimir Putin to think that he could invade Ukraine. Remember, Putin went after and took Crimea during Obama's administration. There was 4 years of peace while Trump was president, and then after Trump left office, you have Putin going against Ukraine again, this time for the rest of it that he didn't get in 2014. So really what we're having right now is perhaps the beginning of World War III. Remember, in the 1930s, there were separate wars that eventually merged into what we now call World War II. I think the same dynamic is at play today, because there is almost an irresistible momentum to global conflict.
Wow. Yeah, you're not the only one saying that. There's rumblings of that sentiment among many leaders that are out there talking today. You mentioned a while ago China's role even in Iran as and also in Gaza. It's like they've got their fingerprints all over the place. But you mentioned their purchase of Iranian oil. Isn't that, in essence, them funding Hamas? I mean, isn't that part of what they're doing, do you think?
Absolutely. You know, first of all, there's elevated commodity purchases in Russia, which supports the Russian war effort, and China got away with it, so it's doing the same thing with Iran. And here's another statistic on Chinese purchases of Iranian oil. Last year, China's purchases were 60% above that in 2017. 2017 is relevant, Jody, because that was the last year before the Trump administration reimposed sanctions on the purchase of Iranian oil. So you can see that this war would not have occurred. Iran could not have afforded to attack Israel were it not for China's backing of the Iranian regime. And also in 2021, there was that $400 billion 25-year announcement of a strategic partnership between Iran and China.
Well, that's a major point to bring up. While all of this is happening, I find it interesting that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen arrived today in China for some economic meetings. Number one, do you think that's a good idea? Number two, what's going to come of it? What kind of things are they going to be discussing?
Horrible idea, and nothing will come of it. Remember, Janet Yellen was in Beijing last July. And so the question the American people should be asking is, what can Janet Yellen say? What can she accomplish now that she couldn't say or accomplish, you know, a half year ago? The problem here is that we talk to China, they delay while we have these discussions, and they ignore our warnings. And I think that Janet Yellen has just got to go and impose severe costs on China for predatory trade practices. That's what she's going there to talk about this time, especially the subsidies for China's green energy for their electric vehicles. Well, we know that China is engaged in all this. What can we say? So I think she just should start imposing costs. And we do that, then we might get somewhere. But this is not working at all.
Yeah, you know, it looks like more photo op than anything to make it appear that the administration is trying to do something. It looks like the administration's trying to look as though they are trying to strike a balance, if you will, between economic competition and maybe antagonism. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of antagonism there. We seem pretty much paralyzed. But are they misguided? Do you think that even some sort of balance, whatever it is they're trying to bring forth, is even possible?
It's not possible. And so the administration is at least misguided. Clearly, you know, the administration says these things that sound like they should work. You know, oh, we need to talk to China. Oh, we can do this and we can do that. The problem is, even though those things sound reasonable, we've been saying them now for more than three decades. And through three decades, China's behavior has deteriorated across the board, where now it is engaged in belligerent, provocative conduct, leading the world to war. And we've got to pivot. We have got to realize that our policies have just utterly failed. You know, we issue these warnings, as I mentioned, and we don't follow up. That's what led to World War II in Europe, where Britain and France from 1936 on issued all of these warnings to Hitler. And Hitler, you know, you get to August 1939 and Britain and France say, we're going to go to war if you invade Poland. We know from the archives, Jody, that nobody in Berlin believed London and Paris. Well, we are the British and French of this decade because we've issued three decades of warnings to China and failed to back them up.
Wow. Last question real quickly, and we've got about a minute only. We look at all the Chinese nationals who are now crossing the U.S. border illegally. The increase has been over 6,000% just since 2021. That year we had 342. Now we are already over 22,000 for this year. Are you concerned about that at all, real quickly?
Yeah, many of the migrants coming across look like they're soldiers or operatives, and that's what we have to be concerned about. But they're coming here to wage war on the U.S. They're doing things that are not consistent with desperate Chinese. They look like they're coming here to attack us. Remember that secret Chinese biological weapons lab in Reedley, California?
Oh, yeah.
I think that these migrants are going to take the mice from that lab and spread them around the U.S., creating a pandemic here.
Frightful. Gordon Chang, thank you so much. Always great to have you on the program. We're deeply grateful for your insight.
You can find out more about Gordon Chang when you visit tonyperkins.com. And don't forget to check out Jody's new book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity and the Will of the People, when you go to our website. Again, that's tonyperkins.com.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This 3-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With election integrity a top issue this election season, many are wondering what conservatives are doing to try and ensure a fair election in November. Joining guest host Jody Heiss to talk about it on Thursday was Jenny Beth Martin, co-founder of Tea Party Patriots.
Jenny Beth, welcome to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jody, and congrats on your book reaching number one in new releases.
Well, thank you very much. We're excited about that. And, you know, this is an issue you and I have talked about a lot over the years, and one that you likewise have been right on the tip of the spear on so many times. As we look at what I just mentioned coming into this segment, have the voter rolls become the new battleground for elections, do you think?
I think that they are one of the major battlegrounds for elections. You have to have a clean roll of voters going into the election so you know who is eligible to vote in which precinct. There, many people are eligible to vote. You've just got to make sure they're voting in the right location. And what Voter Reference Foundation is doing is something that is such an excellent tool for all of us as citizens. They are working to get the voter rolls from each of the states around the country, publish them online for free for the public to examine them. And what we just saw happen this past week is they were in a lawsuit against New Mexico, who was not going to let them post the information online. And a federal court said that was in violation of a federal law. And so they came back and said, you have to make it where you can, where voters and the public are able to examine the voter rolls. That's what the HAVA law says. And so Help America Vote Act, the HAVA law. And they said that New Mexico has to allow Voter Reference Foundation to have the files and then to put them online. And I think that is a win. There was a similar ruling in Maine with the Public Interest Legal Foundation along the same grounds. I wouldn't be surprised if these states try to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And I hope that if that happens, we get a ruling nation that winds up applying nationwide that we can see these voter files.
Wow, that's a huge step in the right direction. Another case that I wanted to put out to you, the Republican National Committee filed a lawsuit against Michigan's Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, who, of course, is a Democrat. But they're claiming that she covertly tried to evade the state's absentee voting protections. Can you tell us what's behind the story here? What is this all about?
Well, she had said that you have to, that if you, when they're looking to match the voter signature, the signature on the absentee ballot to the signature on file, that the election offices needed to presume that the signature matched. And that is in violation of the law. The law doesn't say presume or assume that the signature matches. It says match the signatures. And that there's a huge difference in that. We saw during 2020, especially in Georgia and in other states, that the signature match was not happening properly, and that created a lot of issues in the 2020 election. So I'm really glad to see that the Republican National Committee is proactively filing this suit because of what happened in the presidential preference primary, and hopefully they can get it straightened out before the general election so we avoid the kind of issues that created doubt and uncertainty in the 2020 elections.
Yeah, and what we're saying, these dirty tricks can happen in states, and we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on top of all of this. So in our closing moment or so, how would you encourage conservatives who share the same passion you and I have for election integrity, how should they get involved?
Well, if they go to teapartypatriots.org, they can sign up and get involved with us, and we will help them work to secure elections. We also have a website, help at the polls.com, and we'll teach you how to be a poll watcher and a poll worker, and then plug you into other groups like the Election Integrity Network, who are doing a lot of research on voter rolls and other areas that are needed to secure elections.
Well, it's really encouraging to me. You know, I think a lot of states have stepped up. They've recognized that there were problems. There were problems. Many states have addressed them, the legislatures thereof. And, you know, voters have to be confident that when they go to the poll, there's going to be one vote count, a legal vote cast and a legal vote counted. And there's transparency and confidence in that. Jenny Beth Martin, thank you so much for all you do, standing in the front lines for all of us. We appreciate it. Glad to have you on Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Jody.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.